I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen up, you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Art Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hello, hello, my name is Bart. Welcome to another thrill-packed adventure of the amazing, no, that's Superman. Welcome to another thrilling Bart Cop Radio show. This is show number 88. Boy, I gotta tell you, this is a strange show. Well, that's wrong too. Actually, this show is just like every other show we've done. No surprises, nothing new. Cookie cutter, factory produced, assembly line, generic, run of the mill, just another show. But funny, when I sent it to Tommy, it was like that. But when it came back, it was just really killer. So I think you're going to like it. Let me give you an idea what you're going to hear in just the first half. We have a little tribute to the amazing Christiane Amanpour. She's going to attack the idiot president, and I'm going to back her up when she does that. We have a letter to the president. Then we're going to hear from a Nazi in Arkansas. Oh, if I meet this guy, I'm going to do a night in jail because I've got to slap him after I kick him in the balls and then give him a knee to the forehead. Then we got a little Enron talk. Then we got a visit from the mob. Oh, you're going to love the mob visit. We have John Stewart going to explain the Abramoff situation to you. Can't nobody explain it better than John Stewart. Then we got a little bit of Oprah with my big confession on there, because, you know, honesty is the big thing now, so it's time to get honest, time to get straight. Well, let's not go that far. That's part of what's in the show today. Tell you what, we can't open it without some Chinako. And, you know, I'm down to my last couple of drops of Chinako. What will we do? I guess the biggest effect on your end is you're not going to hear the traditional doink. You're going to hear probably more like a dink. But let's do a shot. Chinako, see what happens. Maybe it'll change our luck. Oh, shit. Ah. Oh, that's nice. What I did, I turned that bottle of Chinako upside down and drained the whole thing. Oh, that's really nice. See if there's another drop left. Hold on. Oh, take me, Lord. I've tasted it all. So let's get right to the big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
We're back with our panel, Powell, Ohio. Hello.
Hello. My question is for the panel this evening.
Yeah.
The first thing that I want to say is I want to commend President Bush and all of the United States military on all of the hard work and success that we've had with the war against terrorism in Iraq.
Oh, by all means, let's applaud all the successes that we've had in Iraq. All the successes. Can we even list them all? George Bush has done such a great job. My God, who could even offer a complaint against the perfection that Iraq has become?
And my question is, why are the civilian reporters given more media attention than the American soldiers who are the everyday heroes that are wounded on a daily basis?
Well, I think it's an incredibly good question. The caller is absolutely right. And as Bob Schieffer has just said, of course we focus on very well-known people and members of our own community. But the reason that the deaths and injuries of the American soldiers don't get as much publicity is because we are, by and large, banned from seeing it. The United States government has made a decision that we are not allowed to see the coffins, that we're not allowed to see the burials, that we're generally not allowed to go to any of the areas where they're wounded, U.S. military hospitals. Perhaps you can see a little bit more in Landstuhl in Germany, perhaps when we go to the hospitals in the United States. But it's very, very difficult to get close to to that kind of real tragedy that the American servicemen and women are going through as well.
Why, Lara, can't you see them?
Well, I just want to say that Christiane is absolutely right. And on top of that, there's a real irony in that caller's question, because it's the military themselves that pressure us not to keep reporting the deaths of soldiers, not to focus on the deaths of soldiers and Iraqis every single day in this conflict. They tell us, you don't tell the good news, you don't show the schools that are opening, you don't do this, you don't do that. Why are you always focusing on the death? And you try and say to them, it's because, as a reporter, I just feel like every time somebody else dies, I have a responsibility to make sure that that death wasn't in vain, that somehow, in some way, it's acknowledged.
So if the lady from Ohio should take it up with the Pentagon?
Absolutely. Jackson.
It just floors me that Christiane, there is no outrage.
Well, certainly there's been a lot of reporting about it, perhaps not enough for that viewer, but as you know, there's not enough international reporting on American television anyway. But I think to the bigger point, why are we there? We're there because if we're not, whose word are we going to take for it? For instance, over the bombing in Pakistan, and for instance, over the constant atrocities in Iraq. Are we going to take the Pentagon-paid Lincoln Group, who are paying positive stories to be written in the Iraqi press? Are we going to take what the administration tells us? Do you remember at the beginning of this war, Donald Rumsfeld's Secretary of Defense told us that these insurgents were just a bunch of dead-enders who amounted to absolutely nothing? Well, that was 3 years ago. You remember on your own show, not so long ago, the Vice President of the United States said that the insurgency was in its death throes, in its last throes.
Yep.
Well, we're there to report what's actually going on, and we pay a heavy price for trying to get to the truth. And the truth is what our business is all about, and that's why we're out there, despite the enormous, enormous personal cost to us, to our families, and to our networks.
As you can probably tell by the sound of her voice, that was the great Christiane Amanpour. For my money, she's probably the best TV reporter there is. I don't think I've ever seen her tell a lie. And when the great cock hunt of 1998 began, well, it began in 92, but she was not involved in that. I think she went to CNN and said, count me out. I don't want any part of that. That's bullshit. That's a hand job. I'm not in the hand job business. I'm not a hooker. I'm a reporter. I'll go report on the real stories. So yeah, kudos to Christiane. Now, of course, also she is right. Talk about what whores and liars we have representing our government. They have lied constantly and repeatedly, so they can't be trusted. She is right. We need reporters on the ground. And as we've talked about many times, they're not free to roam around the country because there's such chaos there. And I believe that's Bush engineered. Well, Bush team engineered. He can't engineer the tying of his shoes. But there's something that nobody's talking about. And I know this is going to cost me. You know, you talk about a gambler, but there's something needs to be said because it's effing true. The big time anchor, well, I had to shut off the other computer because it was making too much noise, so I can't look up his name, who has the time, but the ABC anchor that got hurt real bad over there, and let's not kid ourselves, he's not coming back, I don't think. I mean, he may get back to the United States, and here we go again, but if he's another Dick Clark, I don't think he ought to be anchoring the news. If he looks funny, if he's got trouble speaking, if he can't understand very well, if he's got trouble comprehending, I mean, he's got massive brain injuries. They had to take off part of his skull because it was swelling so bad. And if you know someone who had part of their skull taken off, this is not an attack on them. Please don't write to me. I'm saying I don't think the guy is coming back. But before we make him a saint, can we look at the facts? Would it be okay if we did that for a second? According to ABC News, I saw this myself, and I could probably think of a better word to put on this, but the guy was hot-dogging at the time he was injured severely. And by hot-dogging, what he had done, he had left his American escort, and he joined up with some Iraqis. That doesn't make it all bad, but you just figure you're more secure with the Americans than the Iraqis. Maybe you're not. Who knows? I've never been to Iraq. So he left the American convoy, escort, whatever, and he went with some Iraqi escort. And I'm sorry, but he was an idiot. Let me tell you what he did. I've only seen this once. It was on ABC where he worked, so I assume they told the truth. That made him look bad. So again, if they said it, I assume it's the truth because it makes him look bad. If it made him look good, well, you figure poor guy got hurt. His employer's sticking up for him. But what they did, I don't know the name of this vehicle. You know, I could make a long list of the things I don't know, but there's no time. But he was in this vehicle. It's called a Bradley fighting vehicle. I don't know. It wasn't a tank, I don't think. What I saw was a cartoon reproduction of it. But in the back of this vehicle, they have two flaps. And what they did, he pulled a Dealey Plaza. I assume you younger kids know what a Dealey Plaza is. When you look back to 1963, you think, what kind of idiot is going to... Where the hell was the Secret Service? They put the President of the United States in a convertible, and they published his parade route so people with rifles can get set up and ready for when he drives by waving. That's how he lost their 37th whatever President, Kennedy. So this guy, this anchor here, is in Suntown, whatever it was in Iraq. This armored vehicle is driving down the highway or the street, wherever he was. And he's standing up. Think about it in a limo. If you open the top and you stand up and you stick your head out and you start waving to your friends like you do when you're drunk. He wasn't drunk, and he wasn't waving to his friends. But instead of doing his report inside the thing or waiting until he got to the next building or whatever, in my opinion, he was hot-dogging it. While the vehicle was driving down the highway, they had two flaps in the back of this thing. They opened both flaps. They both stood up. They were exposed, so maybe the waist up, the sternum up, something like that. And one guy had the camera, and this anchorman had the maybe a microphone. But, you know, they're doing a spot for the news while they're in a combat zone, unprotected. Instead of staying behind the armor in the combat zone, he stood up. And the reason I call it hot-dogging is because he could have done it at the location. But no, to make it a little more interesting, a little more topical, a little more Johnny on the spot, a little more you were there, they decided to do this report in the combat zone, and they had the bad luck to come across a triple ambush, again, with this cartoon, not cartoon, but they had a graphic display with little mannequins. And when they got to this point in time, they thought, hey, not only do we have a vehicle here to fire at, but idiots are standing up. So they exposed themselves to gunfire. Boom, all the bombs went off. The snipers shot at the vehicle from three different directions. When the bomb went off, the fella realized he was hit. The anchorman realized he was hit. And he said, oh my God, am I alive? And I don't know if he got an answer, but he said, don't tell my wife. And then he fell over. And I'm pretty sure those are the last words he has said at this point. This is recorded Friday. Who knows? February 3rd, somewhere around there. And I don't mean to attack the guy. I have no, you know, I'm going to get letters. Bart, how dare you? Let's see you go over to Iraq. Well, no, the reason my brain still works to a degree is because I didn't go to Iraq and I didn't hot dog and stick my head out of a vehicle inside a combat zone and say, looky me, I'm filing a report in a danger zone. Well, he gambled, he lost. I don't want to crucify the guy, but I don't think he should be idolized either. He did a stupid thing. Hopefully it was his decision. Hopefully some producer didn't say, dude, what you need to do is get in a tank and roll around in the combat. You know, I've always thought about that. Geraldo or Ted Kopp or someone, they would go into a combat zone. And sometimes even in the dark, remember the first Gulf War, there'd be people standing there at night and someone, the cameraman, turned a light on and they're saying, hey, idiot, we got snipers everywhere. And you're standing there with a light on you in the dark. Are you stupid or what? A bad sniper can hit you from 500 yards if you're in the dark and there's a giant light on you. So please. So to close this up, the guy did the wrong thing. He paid a price for it. Hopefully he won't pay the price of his life for it. And yes, Christian is right. It's important that we get reporters in there and we have the facts. But as long as Bush has turned Iraq into a California-sized beheading, torture zone, chaos, mass murder, you know what Iraq is like. As long as that's the situation, guy like Al Franken now, he was brave. He went over there. He gambled, but his odds were pretty good. If you're a performer or a general or something, you can probably get in, or a vice president or a president or secretary of state, you can probably get in and out of Iraq safely 99 out of 100 times. But if you're a reporter and you're trying to put a little sugar on the story, let's jerk it up a notch, whatever that expression is, if you're one of those guys and you gamble in a war zone, you might have to pay for it with your life. I don't like that, but those are the facts. And you're not going to hear, I haven't heard one other person talk about this. I saw a little graphic on ABC. Maybe it was the day he was hurt. And maybe someone said, well, in reference to the families, maybe you ought not to run that piece again. Maybe that's what happened. But I saw it myself. Nobody else was talking about it. But the truth is, to coin a phrase, he stuck his neck out and he got hurt real bad.
A day after American hostage Jill Carroll was shown on videotape, tearful and pleading for help, a journalist watchdog group says it will step up efforts to try to push for her release.
Well, gee, isn't that mighty nice of them? Here, this poor woman's been kidnapped, and every time she's on TV, they step up efforts to free her. Well, I have an idea. Why don't you go to 100% the minute that you hear that she's been kidnapped? How stupid to redouble your efforts. Well, gee, what if she makes 10 tapes? Then there's going to be 10 incremental steps between now and all you can do. I have a suggestion. If you give a damn about her life, why don't you go from now to all you can do the very second you hear that she's been captured? What are you, stupid?
Reporters Without Borders calls the tape extremely disturbing to watch, but says it's an encouraging sign because it shows the kidnapped.
Okay, two things to kick around. One is the reason they grabbed this woman. Well, they don't need a reason, but the reason they gave is because Bush is telling the army to kidnap the wives of suspects. And then they put a sign on the door that says, if you want to see your wife again, turn yourself in. That seems to me like they're not fighting fair. I mean, you don't fight fair during a war, but then stealing the guy's wife, that's the BFEE signature. Screwing with the guy's wife. They can't fight fair, so they beat up your wife. Instead of fighting with you, they fight with your wife. That's how Bush does things. That's how the Republicans have always done things. That's Bush's MO, and that's disgraceful. But hey, he's the president. What can we do? I caught a lot of shit for this too, that Bob Woodruff, whatever his name is, the anchor that got hurt over there, there was no reason for this lady to be running around by herself. Now what happened? See, again, it's one thing if you're a reporter with the convoy or something, but because Bush has engineered chaos over there, and this lady thought, well, hell, to get the real story, I'm going to have to disguise myself as an Iraqi woman. So I would, she's got dark hair, and then she put on all those wrappings around her head and her face and her body and everything, so she looked like an Iraqi woman, and then she stole around the city interviewing people. Well, eventually they figured out 2 and 2 is 3, so they kidnapped the woman. Now she's maybe going to die, maybe not. Maybe they'll come up with one of those rescue attempts where the American soldiers murder her rescuers. Remember that Italian journalist? That's a big, giant thing that, again, once it was sweeping under the rug, let's not talk about it. The Army refused to comment. And yeah, but that lady had no business running around Iraq by herself. You know, that's just putting a sign on your back that says, kidnap me. That was no reason for her to do it. But the poor lady, now that she's caught, yes, I'm not glad she got caught. I hope she makes it out alive. But when I said the reason you and I haven't been kidnapped in Iraq is because you and I didn't throw our safety away and pretend we were an Iraqi woman so we could run around Iraq looking for a scoop. Makes you wonder, how many of these reporters are there to get a name for themselves, to become big shot? It makes you wonder if these reporters are out there digging for the truth, or are they out there to become the next big thing? Anderson Cooper, when Katrina hit, he went down there and stayed with those people for, 30 days? Got a big high profile. Everyone said, oh, look at that guy. He's pretty brave. He's pretty sharp. He's down there making a difference. So, yeah, they fired at Aaron Brown, and they gave Anderson Cooper, 2 hours a night instead of 1. So, yeah, that was the right thing for him to do. But, again, with the reporter, Christiane Amanpour, she's the opposite. She'll go to Darfur, where they're murdering people with machetes. She'll go into the Ebola villages. I don't know. Yeah, that's crazy, sure. But she's already a worldwide reporting star. She's not there trying to make a name. She is a name. And she goes into a story not to gain points or whatever with somebody. I think she cares. I think she's honest. I respect her. I'd like to do a shot at Chinaka with her. But when another reporter, think about Lois Lane. I'm a big Superman fan, grew up reading comic books. That's probably why my brain's so retarded today. But Lois Lane's idea of a scoop is, the building's on fire. I'll run inside and get a scoop. And then she gets trapped in there and Superman has to save her. And that was the story. Well, hey, stupid. If you don't run in the burning building, you don't need to be saved. So stand outside and be a normal reporter like the rest of them. But no, in the comic books, that's what you do. And apparently in Iraq, that's what you do. You run into a burning building and then you say, oh, woe is me when you get burned. It's not how Bart would have done it.
Dear President George W. Bush. Dear sir, I wonder if you could help me. I have been going out with a young lady for some time now, and we had a conversation on the telephone the other night. And she said, I promised to take her to Las Vegas, Nevada. I have no recollection of this incident. Could you please send me the tape of my telephone call? So that I can check the facts. All the best. Well, P.S. I'd love to be a citizen. All right.
TV's great friends. Right, we'll get that in the... get out of the mail right away.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass, 7 years has gone so fast. Wake me up when September ends. Here comes the rain again, falling from the stars, drenched in my pain again, becoming who we are. As my memory rests, but never forgets what I lost, wake me up when September ends.
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Well, I thought of all people you would understand. Why don't you understand? I did this for us! I did it for us! This is supposed to make it easier! I thought you'd be proud of me. I thought at least of all people you would understand why I did this!
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September ends. Like my father's come to pass, 20 years has gone so fast. Wake me up.
This way, you know, no matter what, you always have somebody here for you. I'm never gonna leave you.
There's a fellow in Little Rock named Paul Greenberg, who is a right-wing fascist bastard. I swear to God, he makes Rush look normal and logical and decent by comparison. What a son of a bitch this guy is. He is among the very worst, and that's so hard to do. That is such an accomplishment in today's American whore press media that this guy is one of the worst. He is the editorial page editor of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, which means his expertise is how evil the Clintons are. Anyway, he had something to say about Coretta Scott King. Democracies have their queens too. They don't wear crowns, they don't need to. Their crown is their presence among us. And when they pass on, it is though a landmark in time has been erected. A landmark that reminds us to number our own days and ask whether we have been loyal to Her Majesty. Such will be the days of mourning for Coretta Scott King, who not only stood by her husband, but by her country, by which she meant what it might yet... What? By which she meant... What? God, he's another one of these guys like Al Newhart. He can't write a sentence. I mean, I can't read it either, but it's partly because I'm looking for nouns and verbs. Such will be the days of mourning for Coretta Scott King, who not only stood by her husband, but by her country, by which she meant what it might yet be. God damn, that's a hard sentence to read. Stood by? No. Not just stood by, but walked ahead, holding her husband to his vision. What the hell does that mean? Holding her husband to his vision. He's been dead 35 years. How is she holding him to anything? Paul, you're an idiot. Holding her husband to his vision and her country to its. Oh, God damn, that is stupid writing. No, not just stood by, but walked ahead, holding her husband to its. Holding her husband to his vision and her country to its. She bid us follow. Oh, you dumbass. She bid us follow. Paul, if you were here, I'd slap you. I'd slap you just for general purposes, but I'd have to slap you twice for this idiotic writing. What's wrong with you? You've got such a... You're so experienced. You're such a good writer. You've got such a journalism degree that you can't make any fucking sense. What's wrong with you? She bid us follow without needing to say a word. What does that mean? She died. How's she going to say a word? Did she ever give a memorable speech in her life? She didn't have to. All she had to do was appear, and that message was delivered. Queens are like that. Now, the reason I started this is Paul Greenberg, like I said, is a Nazi, fascist, hatchet man bastard that makes Rush Limbaugh look like a decent human being. And when I read this, I thought, well, I think he's paying her a compliment. But on the other hand, if it's, oh, here's the queen, here comes the queen, maybe he's not. But I guess it just depends on the reader. Maybe he's sharper than I think he is, and he's actually sliming the poor woman. I can't figure out what the hell he's saying. It sounds kind of like a compliment, but I don't know. How many times can you call a black woman a queen? Okay, you're a right-wing fascist hatchet man, and you obviously hate blacks and gays because you're a right-wing hatchet man, and he keeps calling Coretta Scott King a queen. She's a queen. She's a queen. She's a queen. I don't know. The point of me reading this, I was going to say, why is the fascist bastard being nice to the black lady? Now that I've read it, I'm not sure he was. If he's got something nice to say about Coretta Scott King, that is indeed news, but I don't know. Like I say, how many times can you call a dead person a queen before it turns into some kind of parody? Paul, GFY, just in case.
We'll be right back with Bart Cop Radio.